not sure whether it is the sign of good things to come. We have rain today. And talking about the rain, talking about agriculture and rural development. Our agenda today, ladies and gentlemen, contains three items. The first item would be the committee secretary has apologized for not giving us the agenda in writing. So if you're writing your notes, write the agenda by hand. I have already forgiven her, so I plead with the honorable members to forgive her. The first item on the agenda are the answers to the questions that the members raised with the department during the strategic plan process. The second item on the agenda would be the APP. They have a PowerPoint presentation, but they will give us the hard copies when they arrive. They are still being flown from Pretoria. And the third item on the agenda would be the draft program for the next term of the committee. Well, we will have the AG presentation in terms of how to read the strategic plan and the APP after the before we consider our own draft program. So we will hand over to the DG. DG, you have given us lots of documents. It will help us if you give us all of them sequentially so that we know number one is this document, number two is that document. Even if they will be dealt with by all your team members, but at least if we know which one is going to be done when. Over to you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. I think you've made our job simpler. There were quite a number of documents and reports that were requested, which we shall table to the committee then without presenting. And the only one that we will present is the draft APP. We've got a number of reports, as we say. We've got the committee, among other things, requested a report showing the breakdown of CRDP sites per province, per district. We have that. We have the just a very brief summary on the progress, lessons learned with regard to the implementation of the CRDP. There was a request for a disaster management plan. I think we have a report which we'll table without presenting. Then I'll ask the support services to present our draft APP. I do know that the copy is on its way, Chair, not yet here. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Thank you, DG. Perhaps I would like to state, Chairperson, that what is presenting to the committee here is a draft, as you can see in the presentation. We will, in the hard copies that will be distributed here, we've attached the letter from Treasury that was stating the deadlines for submission of the APP to Treasury so that the committee can see. But in terms of that, we still have 2 months to complete the APP. And but we had promised to show the committee how we have broken down the year, the first year between the this document represents the strategic plan that we presented last time. If you go to the last pages, the Annex A there, that is shown these objectives in year 1, 2, and 3. From page 49. So when the committee was asking that we talk to this, we have been talking to about 2014. This annexure was not seen that it, we have year one, year two, year three. So the annual performance plan that we are presenting now is a breakdown of that year one in the annexure A, which is 11-12. Say that in the introduction, again, we have mentioned that we have followed the Treasury framework, National Treasury framework, that the committee will see in the attached letter, is that it will be implemented fully in the year 2012 by all government departments. But we, as the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform, we have been proactive by trying to implement that framework starting from this year. So at least the copies are here. Chairperson, you will see the attached letter in terms of when other government, when a government department expects to implement this framework fully. That's 2012. I will not waste the time of the committee talking to the vision, mission, and strategy because we did touch that in the last presentation when we did the strategy. But it's important that we capture them here because our APP is aligned specifically to the overarching goal, action goal of the department and the strategy as outlined in the strategic plan. The priorities, we have stated them in the last presentation, but we thought, again, it's important that we flag them so that the committee can be able to match that with our objectives for this year. And so we have flex the goals because our objectives are talking specifically to those goals. Now, the manner in which we will do this, Chairperson, because we've got programs, as we indicated in the last presentation, I will talk to the program one, and we have program managers talking specifically to their program. We have program one, which we call administration in the department, which provides strategic and logistical support in the form of executive corporate services, and it also oversees the departmental capital work and contributes to the education and training sectors. Our priority is there to improve corporate governance. The committee shall remember that we talked specifically about the way we intend to institutionalize this as a goal in the department, how we've made reforms in the areas of governance, performance agreements signing, performance assessment, reporting. We have specific projects that we've put in place to make sure that we improve in those areas in the department. We also seek to implement proper change management and innovation strategies to make sure that governance is improved in the department. We talked to our establishing information management systems in the department because we want to be up to speed with performance information management, not only for purposes of Auditor General, but to assist us to improve governance and administration in our own organization. And our other priority is reforming the policy, legislation, and institutional framework. We shall talk to those objectives in detail in the table. Now, that is the part that I know the committee really wanted us to talk to objectives and what we're going to be doing quarterly. Our first objective that we say we want to have effective and efficient and fair human resource management practices provided and ensured in the organization. And how we'll measure if we're doing this. We said we'll first impact on the most basic areas, the capacitation of the organization to deliver on its mandate, the vacancy rate. And the other person, we said we want to make sure that our vacancy rate is never more than 10%, because if it's more than 10%, it will have a negatively in the impact of service delivery. Now, we have targeted 10% in quarter 1, 2, and 3, specifically because 10% when you're reducing the vacancy rate, as you appoint other people are leaving the organization. But what we want to ensure is that at a given time, our vacancy rate is not more than that. We'll talk when we're talking about the vacancy rate. The committee shall see how many positions we have vacant, at what level, and the measures we have in place to actually improve on that. The other indicator there is the client satisfaction rating there. We want to improve even the way we perceive ourselves as a department in terms of client satisfaction. So we will again implement projects that make sure that we improve on the client satisfaction, because as we know, Chairperson, that with the business of government changing, we've got to energize our employees so that they themselves are motivated to implement the programs and projects that we put in place. So we want, as a department, to ensure that our employees are also satisfied. So first, with this year, we intend to look at the internal client satisfaction rate. But once we improve on that, we would want our clients to rate us as a department how we're doing. It would be a fallacy for now to just begin by allowing external clients to rate us, whilst we know there are basic things that we need to put in place to make sure that we function better as a department, that we have employees themselves energized to implement the programs of rural development. This is why this year we said let's just first focus on that, improving it internally. The other objective talks to legal services. We want to ensure 100% compliance with the court rules, bargaining council rules, and legislation, given the available resources. I remember the committee had a question on this one, how would we ensure 100%, and how would we ensure that we've got resources to do that. But we have put 100% there, because it's not an alternative, it's not like we have an option. If it's a court rule, we've got to comply 100%, so we aim for that. The other objective talks to improve service delivery within the department through a provision of ICT knowledge and information management. In this area, Chairperson, we have identified that is one of the weak areas, of course, as evidenced by the reports of the AG and other audits that we've done within the department. And we have actually identified that the root cause is that we don't have an integrated ICT strategy for the department that was adopted. So in the first quarter, we'll develop that strategy and have the draft as a deliverable. But in the second quarter, we want to have that full, the implementation of the strategy at least. So when we talk about strategies, got basic elements, the issues of control, the issues of governance in ICT, all those issues are sub-elements of the strategy. So how will we measure if we have achieved 50% implementation? We'll be talking to each sub-element within that strategy. So we want by the mid-year, we must have implemented 50% of all the issues that the strategy seeks to address within the department. And we're hoping that by the end of the year, Chairperson, will be at least at 80% implementation of that ICT strategy within the department. Another area there is communication. So we set ourselves the objective of effectiveness and efficiency of corporate services improved there. And we had targeted to have again 75% implementation of the communication strategy. And I would like to clarify again to the committee that when we say 75%, it means if the communication strategy has got about 10 elements, sub-elements that make up that strategy. We must, by the end of the year, have implemented at least 7 of those, given the resources, but also being realistic, given the baseline, because we cannot just aim to do 100%. We are aware, we've done our situation analysis in the organization, so we know where the areas are, which are the areas we must target first, and which are the areas that we know will take us more than 6 months to actually have an impact on those areas. So this is why at the end of the year we have targeted to be at least at 75% implementation. And I will end there, Chairperson, for that and give over to the CFO so that he can talk to the committee about how he intends to turn around the organization in the area of effective and efficient financial services in the department.
Thank you, Chair. In the meeting that we attended yesterday, the appropriations meeting, we were called to account why our spending was sitting at 66% in the third quarter, whereas it should be sitting at 75%. So our target this year is to make sure that we spend the entire budget of the department and we spend according to the linear target. So in our first quarter, we want to spend 25% of the budget. Second quarter, we want to spend 50% of the budget. Third quarter, 75% of the budget. And at the end of the fourth quarter, we want to spend the entire budget. But also, you will recall the challenges which will come into play where funds will be allocated to the department, maybe towards the end of November, which as a result of that will distort our spending. So, but we'll try to manage within those constraints. And some of the programs do not necessarily spend according to Linda. Like if you're talking about infrastructure, you might find that it takes a long time before an invoice is accepted. But our objective, at least, we try to be as close as possible to the Linda target in terms of our spending. Also, we want to make sure that we pay our suppliers within 30 days of receipt of invoice. But I need also to emphasize that we're talking about undisputed invoices, because it does not necessarily that when you receive an invoice, we just pay. We must make sure that services have been delivered to the department before we pay. So it must be an undisputed invoice. We want to make sure that within 30 days, 100% of invoices are paid. In terms of a national treasurer, they have got what we call financial management maturity model rating, which rates at the effectiveness of the finance department in the department. It checks at the skill level of the staff that is employed in finance. It checks systems, controls, and everything to make sure that it's in par with other departments. So they regularly measure departments. Currently, we are sitting at about 2.5 of that model. So at the end of the year, we are targeting to reach 3.5 of that level. In the first quarter, we want to sit at 2.8. Second quarter, we want to sit at 3. Third quarter, 3.2. And fourth quarter, we want to be sitting at 3.5 of that financial management maturity level. Also, we want to have an effective risk management strategy and updated risk register, and that will be done on a biannual basis. In the second quarter, we want to have updated a risk report which incorporates risk registers, and also the same thing as the fourth quarter, we want to have updated risk report with updated risk register. That is what Chairperson will relate to effective and efficient financial services.
I just wanted to talk about the monitoring and evaluation strategy of the department. That one is one of the critical objectives that we have identified. advice that we need to focus on as a department. And in relation to that, we said we want to have to develop a race results-based planning, monitoring, and evaluation that drives the organization to ensure delivery on expected outcomes. Now, in relation to that, we've got a specific indicator, the planning and M&E strategy that must be developed and implemented. Again, Chairperson, we're not just talking about developing the strategy. There's already work done to improve planning and monitoring and evaluation in the department, but we want to have an adopted M&E strategy so that all senior management in the department can align to that. We agree. We have realized that it does not start with just M&E. We must first improve planning in the department. Hence, we've combined that. We want to first address issues of planning, because planning these days is technical. As the AG will give the report, you see that the challenge is that managers start to think technical in terms of what you want to do. There's a difference about understanding what you want to do and the way you package it, so that when the AG is auditing the performance, can see that it's clearly measurable, it's smart, it's time-bound, it's realistic. So that's technical, that's the technical aspect of planning. And as such, we have got that strategy to ensure that managers fully understand that and actually implement, so that they can first plan properly and then measure their performance effectively. So we are saying by the end of the year, again, we'll be at 75% implementation of the strategy. When you say 75%, we acknowledge that there's work being done, but we want to ensure that it's work that is evidence-based, that the committee can see that this is the strategy, and these are the elements of the strategy, and this is how far the department has gone in terms of implementing this strategy. And it can be measured if the department is actually improving its planning, monitoring information based on that strategy. So the other one for communication has been an error for duplication because it's we had already talked to. I would like to address the one of the policies and legislation. There, Chairperson said we want to develop rural development and land reform policies and legislation by 2014. In the strategic plan, we have outlined the policies and the pieces of legislation under. Wanting to direct the committee to those pages. I think it starts from page 9, Chairperson. We outlined them in the strategic plan, the document that we tabled. So we have outlined that which are the policies, which are the legislation that we will be developing as a department. So again, that Chairperson can be verified and can be seen if we have implemented what we said we will implement. Out, I think that slide has been duplicated, so we'll skip that the duplication slide and go to expenditure estimate. Can I propose that, Chairperson, we do not talk to that as we address that expenditure estimate when we're talking on the strategic plan in the previous presentation? And the next program will have the program manager for program 2 to talk to us about how they intend improving cadastral service management and information services in the department moving forward.
Chair, just to contextualize this again, in the past, you may have been aware that we had program 2. But having different programs under it. It still remains as such, except that we now have got three different branches that fall under Program 2. You will see the same thing that when we get to Program 3, when we talk about rural development, it will be two branches of the department that fall under that. So the Chief Surveyor General will report under this program. The DDG, Dr. Mahalamele, Geospatial Services, will report under this. and so will the chief registrar of deeds. He will also report under program 2. I just thought I should put that in context.
Thanks, DG, and thanks to members of the committee. I'm Musho River, the Chief Surveyor General. As the DG has explained, we're part of the program, Program 2, Geospatial and Cadastral Services. I'm more responsible for cadastral services and partly geospatial. The purpose of this particular program is to provide geospatial, cadastral, spatial, planning information, as well as the technical service in support of sustainable land development across the country, not only for rural development. Key priorities is improving efficiency of cadastral surveys management, information services, and registration of deeds by reducing the turnaround times for approval of cadastral documents, reducing time taken to register deeds and documents, to provide land registration service information to support government's development agenda, reduce spatial inequalities in rural communities. This is a breakdown of our APP. The first strategic objective for this particular program is to promote equitable, sustainable land use and allocation by facilitating an integrated land planning and administration system by 2014. The first performance indicator under cadastral services or cadastral survey management is the turnaround time, average turnaround time taken to examine, to process, examine, and approve cadastral documents. That is your general plans, your diagrams, your sectional plans. Our average turnaround time is 14 days. Maybe members of the portfolio committee will wonder why this 14 days is not changing, but it's because of the nature of the work. We've got basically the 14 days in average. We've got projects that would take us less than 14 days, but would have projects that would take us even more than a month to process in the office. So we have used, you know, in our system a determination that 14 days is, you know, an acceptable sort of limit. And a number of days taken to register title deeds, this is basically registration, not an individual receiving their title deed, but registration is 7 days. Number of rural quarterly spatial development framework formulated in the rural areas. The target, annual target, is 25 SDFs completed, and then 6 per quarter, and then 7 for the last quarter. And the operational e-cadaster, which we envisage to be implemented by 2013-14, currently in this financial year, it's the development of the enterprise architect, of which in the first quarter, it's Carasa Portal developed e-DITS version, second quarter e-survey version. This is basically creating an automated system in both Carasa surveys and DITS registration. And by end of this financial year, we would have an enterprise architect design available so that in the next financial year, we move on with the other phase of the whole e-cadaster. In terms of surveys and mapping, which there is a proposal to call it the National Geospatial, NGI, the coverage of digital aerial imagery for this annual for this the annual quota is 315,000 kilometers square, of which the breakdown is 770,000 square kilometers first quarter, and then 105 second quarter, third quarter, and 35,000 in the last quarter. However, it should be noted that this coverage or this particular process from time to time can be disturbed by the, you know, weather patterns, you know, around the country. You know, if you have too much clouds, you cannot fly your plane, you know, to actually take aerial photographs in order for you to produce the maps. Next page, yes. Surveying and registering of state and trust lands. In our strategic plan document, it was mentioned that the target for 2013 is 30,000. It's actually 30,000 for this financial year, not until 2013. It's only 30,000 hectares for this financial year. We're trying to be very cautious because of, you know, the systems that we follow in the department, you know, your supply chain and so forth. But we have already issued out, you know, tenders in this regard. The surveyors, private land surveyors, are currently busy out there. So we're hoping the 30,000 will be met, probably even more than that. Because our 3 year target is about 1 million hectares, including the SDFs. The development of a comprehensive land register. This we basically don't have a comprehensive one in the department. Yes, we have combined, you know, data sets from two components, but we still have to sort of formalize that. 50 to 65% of our spatial data from two components have been combined. Hence, the report on the desktop analysis on state land that has been submitted. So, our target quarterly is to update the register from two components: cadastral surveys and deeds office. By 50%, it should be noted that not all land in South Africa that has been surveyed is registered in the DIS office. I mean, if you go to communal areas or your former TVB states, you've got villages that have been surveyed, but there's no registration. People do not have ownership of those. So when we talk about comprehensive land register of the country, we're talking about inclusion of such, you know, properties. So there is still a long way regarding that. The second one is a scarce skills training program for by 2014. A number of scarce skills training program. We're hoping to have one program that is underway. That we're hoping that, in fact, we want it to be fully complete by end of financial year. We have developed the survey officer, so call it the third tier of surveyors. You've got professional land surveyors, you've got technicians, and then we've got surveyors that we train in-house. So that program has started, but we want it to be fully, you know, fleshed, thereby increasing the scarce skill, you know, capacity, not only for the Department of Rural Development, but as we all know that the municipalities of this country, they also lack, you know, such skills. And the last one is improved disaster management services in rural areas and land reform projects by 2014. Performance indicator is number of disaster management help desk established and functional. Annual target is 40 help desks, 10 per quarter. And then the second performance indicator its number of vulnerable rural communities trained in environmental management and measures. Our annual target is 9 rural communities. We have the breakdown there per quarter. The other strategic objective is compliance with land use management policies and legislation ensured by 2014. Performance indicator, land use management bill implemented. The quarterly target is the draft land use management bill, consultation, and the adoption of the bill. And then the second performance indicator is number of rural special development frameworks formulated. Our annual target is 25 rural SDFs completed, and we have a breakdown for the quarters. And then for national geospatial information and support and services in support of national infrastructure and sustainable development provided by 2014, this NGI is what we normally called, or in terms of legislation, it's our former surveys and mapping situated in Mowbray. Performance indicator there, the first one is number of reference stations. We anticipate to have 985 reference stations across the country. We have the breakdown per quarter. And the second performance indicator is number of kilometer coverage of digital aerial imagery and processing of auto images at 0.5 ground sample distance. The annual target is 315,000 kilometer square. This is related to the previous performance indicator. And number of maps of national map series produced, revised. Annual target is 1,660 maps, and then our quarterly targets are shown there: 344, 460, 360, 496. I think that's the end of our program two. Thank you. Thank you, DG. Chairperson, I'm going to be dealing with program number 3, rural development, whose purpose is to initiate, facilitate, coordinate, and catalyze the implementation of a comprehensive rural development program that leads to sustainable and vibrant rural communities. There are no less than about, in fact, there are exactly 11 strategic objectives, Chairperson, and 23 performance areas. These strategic objectives are as follows: reaching all of the poorest rural wards in all rural municipalities by 2014, the establishment of food gardens and agri-parks in our comprehensive rural development program wards, rural development and land reform beneficiaries to be skilled and capacitated in technical enterprise development, trades, fourth being the development and utilization of innovative service delivery models to enhance food production and to ensure food security. The fifth strategic objective being the increase of the number of jobs on our CRDP sites. The sixth being to provide economic infrastructure in rural development areas, effectively reducing spatial inequalities by 5%. The seventh strategic objective, to provide social infrastructure in rural areas effectively. That's been reflected there. The eighth being to improve ICT infrastructure in rural areas effectively.
better read from the board there, because what I've got here keeps on repeating things over the same pages, and I can hardly see. And maybe I should come a little bit closer, because my problem is really from the board. Maybe I should come closer. Our priorities, Chairperson, is the rolling out of the comprehensive road development program in all rural municipalities. Please, let me then zoom into the specific targets, Chairperson. Strategic objectives by strategic objectives. In the first one, the number of CRTP wards that must be profiled this year. Is a total of 180. And the quarterly targets 45 in the first, second, third, and fourth. E-wards as a rural tribe in South Africa, Kamawaga Mabini, and Amakula Toba, and Amashum Mashan. Rural wards. Out of 4,000. We also, the actual number of households in these wards, Jefferson, there's an average of 2,700 Makaya households in each ward. We are targeting 162,000, reaching 40,000 every quarter. In the establishment of food gardens and agricultural parks in these wards, the number of food gardens we want to establish in 1 year, this current year, is 1,800, 450 quarterly. We want to average in a corner, the ward is 2,700 households. The 1,800, these are not households. The guard is. The guard is. Asnama and Yuruzenza is 162,000. The ward, that's right. No, Chairperson, logic yako is spot on. Diagova, and Uba Uti, Umbuzo Uti, Kutini, the household, the 162,000, the guard is 1,800. Umbuzo Uti. Regarding the ward,
the community
household
2,700 the
Amakaya, 2,700. The ones I figured it out.
Even in one
word. Amanya is not there. In other words, it's not totally dead. the situation regarding those areas, their homes, but we're going to be focusing on those very poor households. The AgriPax chairperson that we want to facilitate is 5 in this current year, beginning with 1 in the first quarter, 2 in the second quarter, and 1 each in the third and fourth. In the area of rural development and land reform beneficial in skills. Which one? Yeah, the AgriPax. Eastern Cape, we already have got 2 parks in Jadalawa. Though it is not fully a park, we are in the process. In the Eastern Cape, we have got a park that we will be taking over, but it exists. And therefore, we want to prioritize those provinces where we have not done anything at all with these 5 within the budget that we've got. Hence, the number, a 5. These are 7. That's normally where they're.
I think other than just the resources, the intensity of developing agri-parks is such that you can't have too many in one financial year that you are involved in. So it takes quite a long period of time to have it fully developed. The one that he's referring to in the Eastern Cape started last year, for instance. It's not complete, so it's work in progress. That is what we're trying to even explain in the strategic plan. If you saw what Dr. Swartz presented as the purpose of this program, he says we facilitate, we coordinate, we catalyze. In areas where other people will provide the money, we can't put it there because they have got to put it in their strategic plan and get measured on that. If you were to look at our, for instance, the outcome number 7, you look at what we have put there, the collective targets of government as a whole on food security, you'll see that the numbers will be different than those that are here, because we've got to be measured on the basis of resources allocated to us, rather than be measured on resources allocated to other government departments. Indeed, we will work with them at different levels of government.
I don't know, maybe my logic is wrong again. Perhaps I'm using wrong comparison. The National Minister of Human Settlements will say 2 million people are housed because X number of houses built. But if you are speaking on behalf of the nation, you cannot only speak about the houses that the department itself has built. You should be able to say there are houses that have been provided by local authorities, there are houses that through their joint ventures with the private sector or whatever. So in your case, you say you're counting only for those that have been initiated or catalyzed by yourself. Those that have been done by others, you are not even going to mention. So we will never know about them because they will not even come into your record because you did not plan them. You only planned for those that you have money for. Is that not going to distort the way you report?
I think you are raising a very important point. If
you saw, you remember when we were presenting, we showed you that there's this new approach, the outcomes-based approach. We'll be coordinating efforts of government insofar as that particular area is concerned. There is a separate reporting process and a separate reporting format. As I said, we're talking about a whole host of things under this one, food security. There, we are even putting things that will be done by social development in terms of food gardens, for instance. We're saying, because it's a new process, you remember you wrapped us over Nattles last week. We are saying there's a separate reporting process on that. We report quarterly, where we meet with district municipalities, with MECs, and the national minister. As a matter of fact, there was such a meeting yesterday. Then reports get prepared at that oversight committee. It goes to the cabinet committee. It gets tabled to cabinet. So it is a report that we can present once, obviously, it has gone through those processes. We said we will make it available, that report. You said we are not doing you a favor by giving you that report. So, Chair, I'm saying once it has gone through those processes, indeed we'll bring that report here.
To get that report, but also it will help us, Dr. Swart, if there's a connection between what you're talking about now with that report. Let me give you an example. You don't do only the work that you have got a budget on. When you catalyze, you collect other people. You can put 2,000 rand only to print the document where you are saying, I'm inviting you to participate here. You didn't spend the money to produce that. You initiated the project, and they spent money on that. So it is through your own efforts that project does exist. When we were debating the Miesh pilot in Parliament, the minister was showing us toilets being built, houses being built, fencing that has been done and so on. Even though he said, we initiated this project, but we have invited other partners to participate. So he could not then say how much was spent by that department, how much was spent by that department. It is a program initiated by your department. It does not appear there is a connection between this report you're talking about and what you're presenting to us. For us, it will help us to see that connection, so that your impact can be measured beyond just the money you are given. Your money has gone a longer way than what you have actually received. So if we can get the connection, you don't have to give us two reports. You can give us a report that says, having initiated, having started this process, this is our impact. Going back to the issue of the gardens, these households can connect with other people, including the relatives in Cape Town, relatives in Joburg. But in that village or in that ward, the impact, Ngonyama Trust is initiating development on its own. The impact you collectively make in the particular area may be bigger than the individual amounts that you put in there. There's money from the corporate sector for corporate social development. Is it corporate social investment? Yeah, well, they call it investment for them. For us, it's development. So I just try the way you putting this estimate exclude any other contributions. And yet, you said the objective is to initiate, to catalyze, and so on. I can't give you a format that says this is how you should present this, but I'm just saying you are leaving out a tangible contribution that could be done through your own labor without your money.
No, Chair. No, DJ.
DG has indicated, these are beautiful questions. And thank you for probing into this particular area of collaboration. Ngoba sine matrix of collaboration. There is a template that has been revised regarding the 12 outcomes of the government. Outcome 7, where we participate within that template, then shows out the collaborative efforts where we don't just report about what we will be able specifically giving our resources to do. True DG that can be made available. In the area of training beneficiaries, in technical enterprise development and in trades, we are targeting 3,700 trainees, 925 quarterly, Jefferson. We also look at intent to develop and utilize innovative service delivery models to enhance food production and ensure food security. In this regard, the number of service delivery models to enhance food production and ensure food security has got to be reviewed. The number of technologies for suitable small farmer production will also be identified through your research, looking at 5 of such efforts in this year. The number of technology for rural agriculture incubators also has got to be implemented, looking at least 2 such technologies. We're looking, Chairperson, at the increase of the number of jobs created in these CRDP initiatives. We're looking at least 9,000 jobs in this current year, in the new year, with 2,375 created every quarter, each and every one of the 4. The number of employment opportunities created through the National Rural Youth Service Corps, we're looking at 5,000, with 1,250 in each quarter. In the provision of...
That's also another operation, because in all other interventions you were referring to, you did not mention the number of jobs that will be produced by your own efforts. You only do that here. It does not appear to be a problem.
I will need help with understanding that question, Jefferson. I don't get that question.
Okay. If you may, Chair, repeat the question.
Let's just assume that Miyasha is the best example to use. We were told that you initiated a group of women to plant vegetables, and they are fully employed. They are selling their vegetables at Spa and so on. In fact, the market is expanding. That's the report we got in Parliament. So they are not employed by the department, but those are the jobs that have been created through the efforts of the department. So you have indicated to us that there are a number of other initiatives of that same nature that are going to be rolled out, that have been rolled out in the past, that are going to be rolled out in the future. You are only saying jobs that you're talking about. Perhaps in my mind it sounds wrong, but it may be in your mind right. The ones that you have full control over is 5,000, and the rest are not counted. Why?
Chairperson, it is also within this trend, because I'm dealing here with what we will be able to have control on in this template. Those jobs that will be directly coming from the projects that we will be directly responsible for. in the Outcome 7 template, you see this much more than that, because it reflects the collaborative efforts of producing jobs across the departments that are collaborating with us in that particular outcome.
Chief, the more you speak, the more you create a problem. Yes, Mr. Stena, I'll give you now. I understand that. I really do. You are being specific only for the youth. Other members of society in those areas are not counted. You're only mentioning the 5,000 for youth, which you yourself directly deploy. But everybody else is not counted. Before you answer, Ms. Taino has a question. I was merely facilitating, Ms. Taino. I'm not engaging as yet, but I thought I'm doing this for us to benefit in terms of clarity. Go ahead.
No, Chief, listen, I wanted to assist maybe by saying, if and I didn't see it, and I will ask you now to just say it, that what I'm also lacking there is a follow-up, maybe in a year, to see that in this year, these kinds of things, if they can write it in the program, that after a year, when going back, they can do maybe another household survey and see what was the impact. And I think this is what is you are looking kind of for, Chairperson, that we can get that result.
Yeah, I think they can put it in the APP. They can do it in the report. Excuse me. But they also had indicated earlier your performance monitoring and evaluation systems that are going to be created. So it's already counted in, but I was worried about, the President says 5 million jobs in by 2014? All right. But this year, particularly this one, is a job creation year. So I'm saying if you discount other jobs you have created and only concentrate on the 5,000 jobs of the youth, in my view, you are shortchanging yourself.
Sure, then Brother Ujongela, 9,000, Ipa Pizzle, and if you could maybe also consider that there is also the number of jobs created over and above the 5,000, there's another 9,000 above. The current one I'm at.
Yeah, no, I know 5,000.
Has the Chairperson noted those?
Okay.
We are targeting that 9,000, which is really over and above the 5,000 of the National Rural Youth. Yeah, so we're not limited to the establishment of just jobs for young people. We're looking at also of at non-young people, people that are above 35 years also. So in as far as the provision of economic infrastructure in rural areas, we would like to focus also on the issue of e-fencing. We're targeting 400. We're targeting 430 kilometers of fencing for this year, with 107 as a target in each quarter. In the provision of social infrastructure in rural areas, we are looking at a percentage increase in the number of households profiling access to sanitation, a 3% increase in the number of households with access to sanitation. A baseline study is going to be conducted to determine this percentage for each and every one of the four quarters.
Mm-hmm.
We also need to see a significant increase in the number of households profiled with access to electricity. We want to see at least a 5% increase in this category of households. We also want to see an increase in the number of profiled households with access to clean water. we want to see at least a 4% increase in the number of this category of households with access to clean water. There is also a change in the number of rainwater harvesting tanks that we want to distribute. The target is 5,000 with 1,250 each and every quarter of the four. In the area of improving the ICT infrastructure in rural areas, we are looking at the establishment in the current new year of 15 e-centers. The number of wards with improved ICT access, 10 of those with two facilitated in each and every quarter. We're looking at the establishment of a village agricultural industry and the agricultural enterprises. The number of village agricultural industries that we're looking at establishing in the new year is four, with one village agricultural industry established per quarter. The number of agricultural enterprises that we are looking at facilitating is 90 in the new year, with 20 in the first quarter, 25 in the second, 20 and 25 in the third and fourth quarters. There is also the area of institution building. We're looking at the establishment and support of councils of stakeholders, the establishment and support of cooperatives, and other community-based institutions on each of our CRTV sites. The number of such institutions that we would want to facilitate is at 180. In other words, in each and every rural ward, we will be reaching in this year, we want to have at least one such institution. Finally, honorable members, we're looking at the establishment of partnerships for economic productivity on our sites. And we're targeting at least one such partnership that's going to assist us. This brings me to the end, DJ.
Chairperson, would like to move to program four, which is restitution.
Thanks, DG. Thanks, Honorable Chairperson and members of the committee. As we all know, restitution main objective is to settle all land restitution claims in terms of the Restitution of Land Rights Act number 22 of 1994 as amended, and to provide for settlement support to beneficiaries. Now, the key priorities of restitution is to, first, is to reduce the backlog of claims that we could not settle in the past due to various reasons, including budgetary constraints. Secondly, to settle all outstanding land claims. Our strategic objective in terms of restitution is to make awards of alternative forms of equitable redress to claimants, or restitute the land, that is, give our beneficiaries land rights within the available budget, what we call MTEF baseline allocation. Now, we've categorized the objectives and indicators into two. That is, first, we would have to implement the backlog, which is a serious issue. Our annual target, therefore, is 360, which is then categorized in terms of four quarters. The first quarter is 110. We'll have to go back and make sure that we implement those claims that we haven't implemented, 110 first quarter. The second quarter will be 120. The third quarter is 70, and the last quarter, we anticipate that we should be doing 60. In terms of new claims, that is, fresh new claims where we have to do valuations, possibly gazette, negotiations with landowners, and the settlement in terms of what we call a Section 42D, we anticipate to have an annual target of 90. And those are categorized quarterly, with the first quarter being 35 new claims, 10 in the second quarter. In the third quarter, we do 35, and in the last quarter, we do 10. Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Chair, and the members. Morning, DM. Chair, Program 5 is land reform, which is the last program. The purpose is mainly to provide sustainable land reform programs in South Africa, with key priorities being to improve productivity in land reform projects through the effective implementation of the recapitalization and development program, as well as to acquire and allocate strategically located land. The strategic objectives, it's mainly the 1.1 million hectares of strategically located land acquired and allocated within the MTF baseline until 2014. There we're looking at the number of hectares acquired, which the numbers are self-explanatory, broken down to the four quarters. And the second strategic objective is the recapitalization and development support provided to the black farmers, rural communities, and land reform beneficiaries by 2014. And there we're looking at the number of farms recapitalized, as well as the number of farmers capacitated through the agricultural training programs. The breakdown is there per quarter. The next slide is just the money is how are distributed. Thanks.
DG, you promised us 1,407 farms to be recapitalized. He's talking about 387. I remember you even said there's 800. There's another number. I really moved on to us. We got a shortcut from farm. Customers is again, it was 1 by 9.
Thanks, Chair.
Talk to us. We're just trying to find a link between the recapitalization process that he's talking about and the work that you're doing in those households, so that we know that there is no connection or there is a connection. Now, at the same time, we show you we should not do double counting.
Thanks, Chair. Let me clarify the numbers. The recap that's running as we speak in the current financial year, where the target was 504, and we have 1,400 farms. Those 1,400 farms that you're talking about, part of them were part of the 504, but the progress to date is that we've managed to do mainly 840 of them. Hence, you see the number there saying 387. The reason why we're saying 387 is because most of them have been affected already. Basically, the information you have, the numbers you see there, it stands that we're going to do from tomorrow, which from the next financial year going forward. Maybe what is strange to you, maybe it's because the number is now lower, it's because we're now targeting mainly your restitution and your elder funds, because that's where the main problems are. The 1,400, it was mainly the composition of plus, and they are all well taken for in the current financial year that is ending tomorrow.
No, your question is correct, Chair. The target of 1,000 and 1,004, we had broken it down in the MTF starting on year one, which was the current financial year, the 540, and accumulating up to that number that you were referring to. What he's reading there are the annual targets, they're not to up to 2040. I think that's a distinction. Yes. That is not the target up to 2040. It's just for the next financial year. Yes, that is what we projected up to 2040. Thanks.
My understanding, Chairperson, is that the recapitalization and development program has got the land reform project focus, and it also has got a focus on irrigation schemes, as Aline, and also in the resuscitation Yamasimi, the fallow line from fields. Though it's not reflected here, and the impression that is actually given is that, well, it is only slanted and biased towards just the funds. Indeed, in the collaboration in the department, we work with the understanding that ECRDP, in its comprehensive nature, will affect both those land reform funds and also communal garden areas, communal, especially crop fields, and specifically those irrigation schemes. I think in one of our presentations, we did mention that the irrigation schemes, we provided a list, in fact, of those irrigation schemes that will be focused on in the new year. I don't know whether we're going to give the list of those schemes.
I'm not sure why Dr. Swartz sounds so cautious in responding to this. It's very simple. There is direct correlation in the target that is reflected in terms of training. It specifically mentions land reform beneficiaries. Because he's responsible in the department for social mobilization, social organization, enterprise development, including people who are benefiting from land reform, recapitalization and development. As a matter of fact, Yes. As a matter of fact, Chairperson, as we drive the community profiling exercise, when we're talking about rural works, we're not only talking about communal areas, we're talking about farm, commercial farms as well. So he will go there and profile there in those communities, also determine other needs other than land needs. So there is that responsibility, Chair. There's that relationship. Absolutely, Chair.
Okay, thank you very much, and good afternoon.
It might be an electronic copy only, Chair. No, I think it's only an electronic copy, Chair. This will be the operation plan for Ingwenyama Transport. I think there's been a bit of a delay to send the copy through. We apologize for that. But I had to try to present it to the court before I actually bring it here. Unfortunately, I didn't actually get that opportunity. But I've been asked by board members to present it as a draft. So I'll use the word draft rather than the actual operation plan. That's the implication, Chair. I think we'll have a meeting very soon of the board, and then we'll send the final document through. Because the targets are actually the same target that I presented last week, the targets are the same, is the activity quotas
that the board has not seen, and I'm of the opinion that there will be no much change. But however, because they have not seen it, they say that I should use the word draft.
Go ahead.
Thank you. No, no, I understand.
I'm inclined to support what you have said. What if the board changes the whole document? I think Chairperson, we must wait until the board sits, and then he comes next.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Okay.
Yes, thank you. I'm really not too sure whether we are going to change anything, but since we have been asked to present it as a draft document, but I'll take the message back if you may allow us. Just to show you.
Yeah, okay. You spend a lot of money coming here and sleeping over. You can't send me back during the progress of study. I'm just worried about the fact that some things will change. But chief well. Tina the Manuel Afana. Go ahead. Oh, and Bula.
Thank you, Chairperson. We allow the department, I don't know whether I heard them correctly, because when they were presenting, they said they are presenting the draft. And they said they are presenting the draft. So, you know, I was just puzzled that if there's a final APP, are they going to come back? Because we're not going to, I think there was no need for us to entertain a draft annual performance plan, because after it has been finalized, there will be changes. Whether they will be able to come back to the committee again and present the annual performance plan. But when they started to present, they said it's a draft annual performance plan. So here's another draft again coming. So it means that we've allowed the department to present. We need to continue, because we've created the precedent. We need to continue allowing Ingwenyama to continue with this draft, but the department has presented the draft annual performance, which might change. So, meaning that if they change it, they have to come back to the committee and present it again.
I like the intervention you're making, because it's not consistent. In our consistent strategy, they're putting us on the track. I really didn't hear the fact.
Thanks, Chairperson. Can I talk to that, Chairperson? The difference here is that we've got the CEO, the accounting officer of the organization. We've got the political leader. We're saying in that, in terms of the tabling, this is why we attached the letter. We're saying that just that we have not printed, but nothing is going to change in what we've presented here, Chairperson. We are not tabling today. This is why we attach that treasury letter. The members have that. Because we're talking about tabling of the APP 2 months after we've tabled the strategic plan. So we're saying we are not tabling today. But the document that the committee has is the final document of the annual performance plan of the department. So we're just saying we are not tabling today.
No draft is different from the annual.
Yes. Would believe so. He is saying, Chairperson, it still has to be reviewed by the board. That's the fundamental difference.
came back to number 3, we were ahead. Okay, for one issue. And the voter is now, the number is but I think I accept Mr. Nimamila. Mr. Nimamila is a security, he's not very in situation for the government. Even because he can tell the others, when he is always in the country. So we will say to Wanyama, Karas, for help. But then you are putting yourself in trouble because you are doing something. I heard you say, I want to vote for the last new thing. Remember, I warned you about the answer. Go ahead.
Thank you, Chair. The strategic goal for ITB is to effectively and efficiently manage the trustland for the material benefits of the people who live within the land that is under ITB. Our strategic objective, our first strategic objective, as I indicated last week, is to... Yes, I'm on the first block. Yeah, I can say. I'm on the first block, Chair. The first strategic objective, Chair, as I've indicated, is to enter into cooperation agreements with traditional councils, local municipalities, and us as landowners. And I indicated that our performance indicator is the number of the agreements that we would like to sign in the coming year. In 2011-2012, we have identified 3 local municipalities, Nongoma, Newcastle, and Musina. And in the first quarter, we have committed ourselves to do the business plans for these local municipalities to say how are we going to engage them in drafting these cooperation agreements. We'll therefore have workshops with all the relevant stakeholders, and probably before the end of the first quarter, we have the agreements concluded. If there are no really technical issues, usually 3 months will be enough for this agreement to be concluded. We'll also, in that broad agreement, like to look at the planning schemes, or what they call area planning, for each local municipality. In the second quarter, under the same strategic objective, we'll do land audits. We'll also look at the formalization of the planning development agreement. Usually, when we finalize the land audits, we try to make sure that we monitor that process. On the third quarter, because after doing land audit, we make sure that all the people whom we have gone through or whom we have looked through under the exercise of land audit receive appropriate tenure. So we'll try to formalize those tenure rights. Also, we'll take an opportunity to make sure that all the information that we capture during the third quarter is processed in our LTIS system, that is our land tenure information system that we run as ITB. In the fourth quarter, it's monitoring and evaluation. Generally, what we do for these things, we use colors per quarter, and our colors are just like this. The green says at the end of each quarter, we put a green if we have met the target, We put a yellow if we are on track. We put a brown if we are behind schedule. We put a red if the target becomes unachievable. We put a blue if there are no reports that are put forward at the end of the quarter, and then explain that. The second strategic objective is to grant appropriate land tenure rights. We've indicated that for 2011-2012, we are looking at 700 land tenure rights, and we've divided 700 by four. Our quarterly targets are 75, 75, 75. No, it's 1.5. Sorry, yes, correct. 1.5. Yeah. 1.5. The third strategic objective, Chair, is the maintenance and update of ICT asset register. And we have indicated that our target, our first target is 300, which is under the consolidation of tax deeds. Our second target is 700, which is capturing the land tenure records. Under the first target of 700, Chair, in the first quarter, we're saying we'll analyze the register and identify 300 targets within specific traditional council. Because this is not a new project, previously we had appointed some people, some attorneys to work on this. We'll also analyze the progress report that they've actually submitted to us. In fact, I think I need to a little bit explain what this is all about. What happens is that you find in a traditional council or in a traditional clan, the land is under two or three farms. And the objective was that that land should be under one farm, or one under that traditional council. That is what we call consolidation of the title deeds. Instead of having some of them, you find that in one farm there are four traditional councils. We're saying each traditional council should have its own farm. Under the second quarter, we're saying we'll prepare the tender documents, because for this project, although we'll have some internal input, would like to put it for external assistance, and we'll have service providers. We are hopeful that the process of appointing a service provider will take us about 3 months, and in the third quarter, the service provider will resume the work and submit his or her final report on the fourth quarter. The capturing of the land tenure rights under that project, again, it will be 75-75 per quarter. 175, 175. I divide by 100. 175 per quarter. Thank you. The next strategic objective is to assist and support traditional communities in identification of business opportunities. I did indicate last time that we try by all means to say communities that are under ITB land should actually take this opportunity now to become business entrepreneurs in their own. Because some of them, they do have business people who want to come to their area for various reasons. It could be because the area is suitable for hotel resorts or something like that. We are saying we are taking initiative to assist those communities to package those business proposals. However, we are saying we'll take a proactive role in identifying those communities which can actually need the public-private partnership and assist them to package the business proposals. This will do it in the first quarter. In the second quarter, always if you are putting a business proposal, you need to do the market analysis, infrastructure analysis, and things like that. We're saying we'll engage all those communities that we've identified in doing the business analysis. In the third quarter, we'll assist the communities in drafting the business plan. Because we have also taken initiative as ICB to say there are communities which are in areas that have business potential, but they don't have equity. The board has resolved that if a community is in that category, the board should assist in getting equity for that community to participate in that business. Chair, we are engaged with the National Empowerment Fund. They do support some of these small businesses who want to put up businesses in traditional communities, but their criteria is that the community should be involved. Therefore, if the community does not have resources, it becomes a problem. As Ingonyama Trust was saying, if such community is affected, the board will come with the equity stake to support that community to become a partner in that business that is happening within its area. The next strategic objective, Chair, is to have roadshows and workshops. As I said, we have identified communication and stakeholders liaison, and is one of the key things that the trust should try to address in this coming year. We have identified or packaged five workshops that we would like to hold during this coming year. And we are saying in the first quarter we'll have one, in the second quarter two, in the third quarter, in the second quarter two, in the third quarter two, and then in the last quarter is one. I also, Chair, indicated that we need to relook at our policies. Some of the policies are really basic human resource policies and finance policies. We have identified, for instance, in HR as leave policies, but I think we'll increase that. It's one of the things that might change. We would like, within this coming year, to say at least there should be two policies that the board approves. And of course, to review our investment policy. This is key, Chair. Investment policy is what the board now sees. Investment on its own is what the board sees as critical to its role to support the traditional communities. Also, Chair, there is an issue with our legislation. We did indicate that the last time that the legislation was amended was in 1997. As a result, there is sort of misalignment here and there, and the board is of the opinion that this legislation needs to be reviewed and aligned. In the first quarter, we would like to actually put that submission or memo to the department and assist the department to assist us to actually bring those proposed amendments in the second quarter to the committee. In the third quarter, we're hoping that if things go well, it will be the time to have the hearing. And in the fourth quarter, if things go well again, after the hearing, the draft be submitted to Parliament. Also, we have identified two critical areas. One, as I've indicated, we'll try to address it also through the workshops and the roadshows. That's the communication strategy for the board, both internally and externally. We've also identified the HR strategy, which the leave policies, as I've indicated in on top there, could be part of it. These, we think, are the very technical things that we need to outsource them. We're saying in the first quarter we'll draft terms of reference to appoint a service provider, preferable one person who can do both policies. In the second quarter, we'll request the service provider to submit the draft document to the board. If approved, that will be implemented in the third and fourth quarter. Chairperson, the last strategic objective is to assist communities who actually request funding from the board to execute some projects within their communities. We've indicated in our threat plan that at least we should support 10 communities for this coming year. We have drafted what we call disbursement policies, and we have identified some of the communities to say at least they should submit their requests before the end of March, so that in the first quarter we are able to assist them to look at their applications, submit them to the board for approval, and then at least in the second quarter process the payments. Some of these payments, they need monitoring. This will be done on the third and fourth quarter. Chair, that's where I am. Thank you. Yeah, because in our presentation last week, if you remember, Chair, we actually presented the targets, the annual targets. That is our APP. This is our operation plan to say what is it that we took the court. In that annual target, we had the annual targets in the budget. Strategic objective. Oh, yeah, now I understand. Money per quarter.
To the committee by mistake that indicated that there are areas which are under Ingonyama Trust but whose land has not been surveyed and the deeds not registered. I don't see you covering them in this.
If I remember from the top of my head, that document said that over 5,000, 4,000 pieces of land, but almost 5,000. And the difference in the hectares was almost double.
We've tried to look at that. I think there are two problems. The first one, what we just picked there, is that there is the repetition. If you look at, for instance, Mfunduzi although it says down, we have not done anything under Umsondozi. On top it says there is Umsondozi, which we assume probably is referring to the same municipality. The second issue is that when you are searching for Ingonyama Trust land, you can't go by municipality because it's not how it's put in the deeds registration. It's according to divisions. So you won't be able to say Umsondozi, this is what is within Umsondozi. You find that the farms which actually overlapped Umsondozi, they are in other local municipalities. So that's why we work with the farm. We don't work with the municipality at the moment because it's not like that. If you try to get the municipality, you have to divide, start dividing yourself those farms that you do not have the idea of.
I don't understand whether it's me who does not understand a title deed, because we're dealing with title deeds. We're not dealing with municipalities. Although they would say title deeds in this municipality, but they will still deal with title deeds.
The registration of what we call title deeds, Jay. As I'm saying, if the title deed for Bebe, let me say Farm Bebe, is under Umsondozi, you'll find that those that are under Ingonyama, it will go to the next local municipality. It will not be within Umsondozi only. So what I'm saying, or what we discussed, is that it is very difficult to work that way and find a correct figure. Because that same farm, which is not subdivided, overlaps to other local municipalities. That was one. The second one, if I can finish, the second one is we have land parcels in all the 61 municipalities. Separate 10, you go to 51, which is the district. And if you look at that figure, which has 24, 26, and then you say half of the land is still not there, you are therefore doubling that number again. We had problems with that. But we are working on it. We'll come with a proper figure.
That is encouraging. The last pitch is encouraging.
You came back with the same question unanswered. You remember we said
the strategic plan is vague because it says this is the overall picture. So we said we will deal with these matters under the performance plan, because in the performance plan you give a little bit of detail. So we were expecting that little bit of detail today. You still did not answer one particular question that talks about the cooperation agreement. You specifically indicated last time, and you were repeating it now, that you will have cooperation agreements with local municipalities and traditional leaders only. You exclude any contribution in your work that will be done by provincial and national departments and parastatals. Can I finish and say, secondly, whether you will have the CRDP approach in the work that you will be doing is not clear, because it looks like you are emphasizing more on businesses rather than on community development. And third and lastly, you did not indicate your cooperation arrangement. You did mention NEF for funding and investments, but you did not indicate whether Strif and Recapitalization would be participating in your work. That is the first question. I hope you are noting. The second question relates to the fourth quarter in the slide here, where you're saying you will act, your work will be done in the first, second, and third quarters, and the last quarter you will do the monitoring and evaluation. You do nothing else, just monitoring and evaluation in the fourth quarter. Do you remember that slide? I can't remember. I can't remember in which one, but you said... What?
Implementation of policies.
Go up, Chief. Go up. No, the audit land use of all parcels that will be removed. There. That will be transferred. So you submit proposals, you implement the approved business plan, but on the last quarter, you do monitoring and evaluation. You do nothing else. You even leaving no room for not meeting your target. Every target will be met in its quarter. The next thing is 700 land tenure applications. It's your target for a financial year. There's nothing that says how many there are in any document that we have. There's no estimation about, maybe it is in the strategic plan, how long this process will take. But it does not say how many there are now and how long it will take to finish this process. You see, one of the reasons why there was a big problem, maybe it's my own speculation, DJ. The department vis-a-vis the commission, restitution commission, did not agree on a particular time frame, how long that commission will take to finish the work. Because the department itself did not even understand, because they said one financial year, 30% of the agricultural land. Ngonyama Trust is asking for the amendment to the legislation. In the process, they want to change the mandate as well. They want to do investments, they want to do joint ventures, they want to do other businesses other than the work that they were originally appointed to do. Now, I'm worried about that because last year we debated a long time on the trip to Dubai. Remember the trip to Dubai? We had a huge problem about the trip to Dubai. Mm-hmm. So the more you allow the Ngonyama Trust to continue to change its own mandate by submitting, memoranda to the department, change this part, change that part, you're losing the original purpose of the trust. So I'm worried now that the trust is saying they will initiate some of these investment opportunities to communities. They will invite joint ventures to come in there. Some of them, they will put their own equity stake in it. So it is different from what I understand the board to be doing, unless I am the one who's making a mistake. Those are my four observations on the strat plan. But we know now that this is a draft, and it is a true draft. But the rest of the members can make contributions so that when you go back, you can deal with the gaps that we have identified. Did you?
Chair, thanks. Quite clearly, there would have to be engagement between the department and the board, because the minister, as the executing authority, would need to know why would the board want to change the legislation. There hasn't been that discussion between the board and the department. And the proposed amendment is not in the legislative program. So it can't possibly come to Parliament this year. So that engagement would be quite critical. So,
this is one reason why we were talking about the commission and the problems of the commission not having any accountability anyway. Ngonyama is not only asking for the amendment, it is changing its own operations as we speak. They ask you to give us money, we want to do this. In doing so, they change their own, by default, their own mandate. And I'm worried when you say you still have to engage on that, when they're actually doing that now.
But remember,
In fact, Chairman, in my mind, I was asking myself, what is there any cooperation and relationship and interaction between the department and the Ingonyama Trust? Because the way they are putting their threat plan, the way they are putting their OPP, it looks like it's a separate department. They are on their own. There's no relationship, there's no interaction between them and the department at all. Because they completely do their own thing.
Can you help us with, put it in the form of a question? Not in a judgment form, because once you judge and they give you a contrary opinion, it may mean that there's something wrong with you when there's nothing wrong with you. Just put it in the form of a question, and then we can conclude later.
Yeah, Chairperson, I think you said it exactly, because that, what I wanted to understand is there is a department that is a national department, and we have Ingonyama Trust, and what is the relationship? Is the department in a position to intervene in the activities of Ingonyama Trust? And if they are able to intervene, are they able to also even guide Ingonyama Trust so that whatever they present to us as Parliament, as a committee, then it is through the department, assisted by the department? That's what I was going through my mind when they were presenting, even last week, because I was surprised the department is that side, they're standing this side, doing their own things. Thank you.
Last week they said they will build a 9 million rand building for our offices. Today is not in the performance plan.
Thank you, Chairperson. Can I ask questions also to the department now? Chair, I want to add, we'll start with that last question now. I asked last week, do the department, I actually asked it for the department and the Ingonyama Trust Board, do they also have a memorandum of understanding? Because the department gives the Ingonyama Trust an amount, which was 10 million, and I think it's deducted to 6 million now this year. What are they supposed to do with that money? Are they supposed to then look on behalf of the department at the title deeds or the surveying or whatever? So I want to find out, do they have a memorandum of understanding between them, and what is it? It's something separate to what the acts and the whatever says. It's a physical year-on-year. To get the money, this is what we expect from you. That's the kind of question, Chairperson. Chair, I'm going to start page by page just quickly for my questions. The first one also is to the department. In their threat plan, they say it's 7.4 million hectares has been distributed up to date. I know when we discussed it last year, it was 6.2. I was trying to find it in the threat plan anyway where the difference of 8 million hectares came from last year to this year. I could see 100,000 hectares for restitution and 120,000 hectares for redistribution or something, but the figures doesn't add up. So if we can get from them in future or now a breakdown on how much of it was for restitution, how much. My question, Chair, is we are talking about recapitalization of farms. We don't know how many hectares. We know it's 1,400 and how many farms. How many hectares is that? How big a percentage is that of the amount of hectares that was redistributed? So it's very difficult, Chair, to measure the department if we don't have the full facts. So I think they changed their strategy from last year. By last year we had hectares and farms and beneficiaries. Now we only know it's so many farms. We don't know how much hectares is that. So that's my first question, Chairperson. Then, looking at the quarterly targets from the department, starting with the first one, which is the capacity of the administration, the reduction rate in vacancy percentage, client satisfaction, the two just below each other, the 50% target rate for client satisfaction is not acceptable, Chair.
if the target is 55%, I wonder what is it now? Do the department know what is the unsatisfactory rate? I will tell them if they don't know. It's about zero satisfaction, because we got that from the Western Cape land claimants. The DG know I get letters on my desk every day from unsatisfied people. So 55% share is not good enough in 3 years. We must move towards 100% target of satisfaction. I know we won't achieve it. My question in this is, do they set their targets low so that they can achieve it? That's my question to the department. And there's a few others. I won't mention them all. There's a few others. I will just go to effectiveness, efficiency, whatever, 75% of strategy. Why can't it be 100% in 3 years, Chair? That's my question. There's a few like that. I won't mention them all. I think the department can look at it themselves. And just maybe on that effectiveness, what does it mean in actual terms? Effectiveness and efficiency of corporate services. What does it mean in English? Not in nice strategic plan language, so that we can measure that, Chairperson. Then, Chair, the development of these policies, it talks about development. What about reviewing? I'm thinking specifically about Clara. We know that there's a problem, so are we reviewing and looking at implementation on other things, or are we just developing new strategies? Chair, and then on all the expenditure estimates, all the slides, maybe I'm not understanding, but it says on the top there, 2011-2012, and then under that it says current payments. But this is for the year starting 1st of April. So how can we have current payments under 2011-2012? And that's in all the slides. So I don't know if it's current payments for the year up to where we are now, then it's the slide is misleading, or all of them. Yes, but it says 2011-2012 on top. We are in the 2010-2011 current year. So it's a confusion on the slide, Chairperson. And I hope the department is not confused with their finances, that they're spending next year's money already in this year. That's what it says in the report, Chair. I'm a bit worried about that. Then, Chairperson, the Geospatial Program 2. I look at the days for this average number of cadastral documents to be examined, and register title deeds. I have a concern. I heard that there's a very long turnaround process at the moment, especially in Western Cape Province. I just put in a question to the minister. I want to know, what is the international norm? If we say 14 days, is that international norm and 7 days? Or can we work to get it lower? I don't know. And I'm also concerned that apparently at the moment, it's very high. It's not even the 14 days that we say that we are starting off from, the target, the annual target. So what is it currently? It says 14 days, but my information is that it's not. Okay. The 35,000 square kilometers, does it cover the whole of South Africa? The reason why I'm asking, I was just using Google the other day to look at a certain place, and I couldn't find it. I don't know if Google wasn't working at that stage, or my town just does not exist on a map. So does it cover the whole of South Africa? The 35,000 square kilometers, the digital aerial survey that you want to work towards. Then, Chairperson, still on that program two, it's the question that I asked also last week, but it wasn't answered. It's surveys and registered state and trust land and 30,000 hectares of land surveyed. How much do we actually have? And that brings me to the state land audit report that we received from the department, Chair. I worked through that. It's a very nice report, but it doesn't say much. It gives us land, total numbers of parcels again. And I think this is where the problem comes in, Chairperson. We don't know how many hectares are we talking about. So maybe if we knew that, we could have fixed this Ingonyama trust query today. If you look at KZN and it says state and it says this and it says that, it says land parcels. So if we could have linked to that, the land parcels, how many hectares is that? Or is that the query because there's something in the state land audit that says something, let me just see what it says. Was spatially unmatched against whatever that's spatially unmatched on this one of the last pages. So what does it mean if it's spatially unmatched? Maybe it's just a technical question also, Chair, but it will assist us if we can have the amount of parcels linked to this, the hectares of land. Chairperson, and then there was the, I'm almost finished. Chair, the Surveyor General mentioned himself when he spoke about compliance with land use management policies and legislation, the Land Use Management Board. He said not all land surveyed is registered, and they are trying to register it. Is this what is supposed to happen now with that 700 and whatever that Ingonyama Trust Board in their presentation spoke about? Because it's didn't a duplication. I can't understand why does the department not start in KZN and help them to do that? And in whose name will it be registered then? If it's not registered, the Surveyor General said so. Chair, and then on rural development, also on the jobs that you were mentioning, we are saying a number of the CRDP jobs, it's currently or quarterly or for the year 9,000. But in the current year, or the year that's ending tomorrow, Jane, we actually created 9,949. And if we looked, so I'm remembered about the wards that we will target in the next year, it's actually more. So why is the jobs less? It's for both the youth and the normal jobs. If you look at the current year, it was more on both those. But we're looking at more areas but the jobs that we're going to create. My question, Chair, comes back. Do we set our targets low so that we actually achieve them at the end of the year when we get our report? I think it's basically all of that. Oh, Chair, then just on restitution. It says here we are going to settle 360 of the backlogs and 90 of the new claims. It's a total of 450. But there's 3,852 outstanding claims, Chair. With the 300 court cases, as far as I'm aware, with a 12 billion rand backlog, I don't see it in this report. How are we going to settle it? That's the question that I asked also last week, Chair, that was not answered. The way we are going, we will not get that done. Thank you, Chair. So we still didn't get that report.
Suggestions. Can we allow maybe the department and the Oyamata to answer this question? Because I look at the time now. I'm worried that last time they had so many questions that they didn't answer, and then even today there are a lot of questions at the moment. Can you allow them to just, then we take this another set.
You say that Mr. said, I asked the question last week, it was not answered. I'm asking it again to make sure that no question escapes answered. When Ms. Ngonyamabila wants to speak, I can't stop her from speaking.
Thank you, Chairperson. I will start with the Ingonyama Trust. Somewhere you have mentioned that you're going to appoint the service provider for this title deed consolidation, but it will take you 3 months why is it taking long to appoint the service provider? Because according to your plan, that service provider is supposed to start doing the work during the fourth quarter. Then on your plan that was submitted to us, I don't have a copy now. The chairperson has indicated that you talk about the new offices, the renovation and the completion, and also this district office, satellite offices. But when looking now at your draft plan, there's nothing about those offices. Secondly, last week there was something that was presented concerning the bursaries, but the plan today is silent about the amount that, how many people are you going to assist with the bursaries. Also, when looking at your budget plan, it seems as if there's a decrease in the salaries and also the increase in goods and services. Maybe can I get the clarity? Why the decrease in salaries as compared to the previous financial year? Then the other one, you were saying that you're spending 10,000 on telephones per month. Can we get just a clarity on that one? It's an office telephone, cell phones, 10,000 per month. Maybe if you can be clear on that one, because it's here in your plan. Again, when looking at your plan, you are saying you are going to review and maintenance of policies, 150,000. Can I be clarified again on that one? Review and maintenance policy, 150,000. Why such a huge amount? Again, human resource and communication strategy that will be done. I don't know whether it will be done internally or it will be outsourced. Again, there's 150,000 budgeted for that, for the human resource and communication strategy. Audit fees. You've said internal audit fees is 157,500. Then you said internal audit committee remuneration is 6,000. Can I be clarified again on that one? The last one, on page 15 of your third plan, you have indicated the total trust income, including reserve funding. Then you've said less funding from the reserve, the 32,914,641. What is this money used for? Secondly, you have said less 90% portion to beneficiary communities, which is 32,805,000. Can we be clarified about this money? What is it used for? Because it's not there in your place. Thank you.
Sebastian, it's not a question to me. It's just a remark and a question I want to make to the department before they respond to this question. You know, for us to go forward efficiently, we need to address the past and the present. I have just gone through their presentation to Standing Committee on Appropriations yesterday. So my remark and my question is that you are presenting us APP. Please, you must stick to the targets that set yourself. You know, it really is a very big concern to me when I look at your spending for the third quarter, and then I compare it with the fourth quarter, which means, you know, the money you were supposed to have spent in those three quarters, we have doubled it in the last quarter. So what comes now to my mind is you are just using the money for the sake of finishing it before the financial year ends. So that is not the right way of doing things, because you might find out that in that money you have just allocated it without using it. And then you end up now having a rollover again next year, in the next financial year. Try to stick to the target you have set yourself.
They did answer that question at the appropriation committee.
Oh, yesterday.
Yesterday. No. You deserve an answer. they did indicate through the CFO that the allocation was not done by Treasury until they went, they got to the MTT, what is that? Adjustment in October. So they could not spend it before. They were only able to spend it when they received it. That's why they asked for a rollover, because it was not going to be possible to spend it. We think, because otherwise they will do what they call fiscal dumping. So to avoid what you are suggesting, they then ask for the rollover. That is what they said to the Appropriation Committee yesterday. But I'm not answering for them. Thank you, Chief. Thank you. Chief, oh, the other thing is the questions to Ingonyama Trust last week have been submitted in writing. So the secretary says all of you in your computers, you have them. In front of you, on paper, in front of you. And Ingonyama Trust says, like the Ms. Janssen's approach, read. There's a document in front of you. You must read. It's only you make a follow-up if you're not happy with the answer. But the judge had written us and given us answers. Judge Ngwenya.
Thank you, Chair. I'm going to invite the Chief Surveyor General to address the specific questions on the total number of hectares vis-a-vis the land parcels. I have discussions with him. I would ask him to respond to that question.
We finish, did you also make reference to the answers in writing that you have submitted, so that you don't repeat the same answer? Because if you read an answer now from the document you gave us, it will take us way beyond 2 hours.
Thank you.
So please make reference. When you deploy your forces, they should give us one paragraph if they have to repeat the question or an answer to a question. If not, they can make reference to the document.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. We'll just respond to the new question. Then I'll ask DDG Mashia to respond to the targets with regard to customer satisfaction and the related targets in terms of communication strategy, M&E, and so on. I will respond to the, I'll ask Mr. Mashlangu to respond specifically to the hectares under recapitalization vis-a-vis the actual numbers of farms as has been requested. I will address the question of the relationship of the department and the Ingonyama Trust. Yes, Chief.
Excuse me. I don't like what I'm doing, but I have to do it. Program 2, yeah? That is yours, Chief. On your third page, the document that you submitted here, the Scale Skills Program. You will do nothing on the first quarter, nothing on the second quarter, nothing on the third quarter. You are only going to start training on skills on the fourth quarter. It's your document that says so, unless I'm reading it wrongly. And then, the registration of this trading account. I just said it in land, but again, the one I'm going to quick payments. I'm not sure what it means. current payments plus payments for capital assets, nothing. So if you buy one of the seller, which is in Jubai, Kubanji, and you need this land. Again, I get you.
Thanks, Chair. I'll start first with the average turnaround time of 14 days and 7 days, respectively, for cadastral surveys and deeds. These turnaround times basically are based on, you know, the previous statistics on dealing with the lodgements that are received by both offices. Like I said earlier on, that you have, you know, different kinds of projects. You could have a land development project of a big township consisting of 1,000 or 2,000 land parcels. It will definitely not take you 14 days to do it. It will take you maybe 30 days or so to process that. And then you'll have a simple subdivision that will take at least 1 or 2 days to go through the normal process in the offices. Like I said, 14 days in average time. But where do we come from with this? In the last 20 years, I mean, the average turnaround time of processing a simple survey in South Africa was over 12 months. So there have been advances in the last, since 1997, when we deregulated the Land Survey Act. So we even tweaked the processes in the Surveyor's General offices. So we slowly improving. In terms of whether this is an international norm or not, it is not, because internationally we're using different system to internationally. You would go to certain areas, for instance in Sweden, property transactions is between two individuals. So individuals will contact government to do the processing. It takes sometimes even a year, you know, to do that. But when you go to Philippines, where they have sophisticated kinds of system, electronized system, it takes less than 5 days to do that. But now in South Africa, we're still using paper-based and electronized system. That's why we're introducing e-cadastre. We want to introduce e-cadastre where our systems are automated. So in the near future, we'll see the decline in turnaround time for both deeds and cadastral surveys. In terms of the backlog in Cape Town, I don't know, is it for Surveyor General or for deeds office? Both of them. I would definitely say for Surveyor General, it's incorrect, but because on my records, the turnaround time is just below 12 days. But for deeds office, there have been challenges in terms of, I think the issues of capacity and stuff whatsoever. I think there's a parliamentary question that has been responded to. When coming to the 315 square kilometers of digital photography taken, your question was how much of this is part of, you know, is your percentage of South Africa? It's about 24%, because South Africa is 120. It's 1,219 square kilometers. So with the resources that we have, we can only in one financial year try to cover at least 24% of South Africa. In terms of the specially unmeshed land parcels, I mean, you say your question was, why are we referring to land parcels instead of hectareage? I think I did explain earlier on, although it was not in detail, when we did the desktop analysis, our main aim was to determine how much of land is owned by state, all tiers of government. But now, because of certain properties where subdivisions have already happened, but there's no registration, again, that is not the responsibility of this office or cadastral survey, or this particular department. That responsibility lies within municipalities and so forth.
I mean, we know that provincial departments, they're the ones who issue title deeds for your former black townships. It's not this office that has that responsibility. It's your provincial departments together with local municipalities. So we'll wait for them to do that. We are not the initiators of that particular process. So for us not to present an incorrect hectorage in terms of the number of pieces of land that belong to the state, we decided to use the number of land parcels instead of hectorage. Because now you'd have a diagram, which is a parent diagram, maybe 16,000 hectares, but inside that particular diagram, there are pockets of land that are privately owned by individuals. So we needed to do a little bit of substitution. It was a huge task. That's why the whole process at the finance took us almost a year to complete. But as we're improving our land register, as we're saying we'll be improving our land register, we will soon be getting, you know, the hectareage correct. I think I responded to the honourable member said there are certain pieces of land that are not registered. We're trying to register. No, we're not registering them. It's not our responsibility. But from our database, using again the same tool that you use, Google actually is assisting us, you know, to identify pockets of land where people are actually staying and their subdivisions, but there is no ownership. We're in the process to engage. We didn't want to commit that in our plans. But currently for the land asset register, we're in the process of engaging Public Works to deal with this matter. Scarce skill. Yeah, Chair, you caught me off guard there. Like I said when I presented, we have a program that is currently running where we have, we call them people survey officers around the country. We actually take them for 24 months, contract for training, in-house training. So that process is ongoing. Like I said, end of this financial year, we would have improved that particular training. Maybe we needed to put something, what is it that we're doing, but basically the training is continuing. We have 5 lecturers, you know, moving in all the offices, in the Surveyor General offices on a block basis, giving lectures to this students. I think. No. I'm saying it's ongoing. The training is ongoing. Yeah, I'm saying we're supposed to have set something on the third quarters. Like I was saying, the program is there, is existing. We want to improve it. I mean, those are things that we've initiated, but those are the things that need to be known by, you know, the house. We have 60 students. We take 60 students. The first group was 75 students, and then the second group that started just after World Cup, it's 60 students. I hope my responses were satisfactory, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I'll answer the question which relates to the current payment for the forthcoming year. As you'll note that we prepare the strategy plan in terms of a format prescribed by National Treasurer. So the classification of expenditure also is prepared in terms of standard chart of account, which tells you how to classify accounts. The current payment is a classification, and we've got the capital payment classification, we've got the transfer payment classification. If I may just explain those three terms. For capital payment, it will relate to payment where we are purchasing asset that needs to be capitalized in our accounts which are more than 5,000. For current payment, it will relate to payment for goods and services and compensation of employees. That's how it's classified as current payment. Does not necessarily mean it's for this year. All classification, as you can see on page 48 of the strategy plan, over the MTF period, that's how it's classified. The question about the trading account. The deed trading account is supposed to be sustaining itself, so it derives its revenue from the registration of properties. But as a department, we have the responsibility to make sure that it doesn't go to a deficit, so we must make that provision. Hence, that's why we see only that under transfer payment. For all other expenses, they must sustain themselves. That's why on other columns there is nothing. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. First, let me start with the question on effectiveness and efficiency of human resources in the department. That is a broad strategic objective. I would like to explain this process so that we are on the same page. In terms of the planning guideline from Treasury, you're supposed to have one strategic objective broad, reflecting both at the strategic plan document, the same objective reflecting in the APP. And that's an outcome. It must be achieved after X number of years. I think based on the outcome-based planning approach, it's meant for departments to sustain, to work on that outcome for a number of years so that they achieve that. However, there are basic things in terms of the change theory that we have to put in place to make sure that we achieve that outcome. And in this case, we have started with the issues of just people management. You know the issue of vacancies, my honorable members would understand. That it's it's an indicative, it's a diagnostic in the organization of a whole lot of other things that may not be going right. And if you have that high vacancy rate, it could be your systems, your processes, your people management are not going right in the organization. So as Honorable Stein has put it quite nice, it's too broad to just measure efficiency and effectiveness in the performance agreements, Chairperson, which is one area that we've started working on in the organization. I'm glad the AG is here. We've presented all senior managers will be measured on their people management. It's in the performance agreement. It's linking straight to this objective. So if you're a senior manager in the department, we'll measure you on how well you manage your people, how well you energize your people. Do you sign performance agreements? Do you do assessments? Are you looking at employee wellness issues? Is then your staff satisfied, so that we energize people to deliver on these objectives. The challenge, honorable members will understand, is that in this current public sector reform that the government is driving, we are faced with the reality of people who've been there in the public sector doing things the old way. And what we want to do now is to get people to think differently, that it's not business as usual. But once we do that, we'll not take a punitive approach. We're taking a development approach and actually trying to be at par with our private sector, looking after our people. So the issue of vacancy rate is quite broad here in the place, but there are specific projects. And Jefferson, it could have been such an opportunity if we'd have a chance with the committee to talk about these programs and projects that the department is doing aligned to these objectives. In another platform than just here, because here really there isn't sufficient time to unpack all these projects that we are doing. So Honorable Stein is right. It's a
broad objective here. But at the departmental level, we tweaked it and unpaired it and made sure that it's in the performance agreement that managers deliver in relation to this. So the vacancy rate is just the indicator. But then we've got specific projects that are addressing so that we achieve that. The other question, that target setting, do we make it low so that we can achieve it? Again, Chairperson, I would like to explain this. Realistically, the target setting is based on the reality currently. So your baseline, and again, Honorable Stein is saying that she knows that the satisfaction rate could be zero. So for us to just say we'll put it at 100, we'll be setting ourselves up and also not telling the truth to the committee, because we may not be able to achieve that in 1 year. But also I would like to say that, Honorable Stein, these targets are for 1 year. These were quarterly targets. So we're saying from 0, we want to push it up to at least 65 in 1 year. And we think we want to be realistic. We can't just say 100% because we're going to come back to this committee and say, sorry, we couldn't achieve that 100%. So I'm saying if the target setting is informed by the current situation, and I'm sure the committee has been dealing with the department, they know where the department is in terms of the baseline. So it's not that we're trying to run away from Paris, but we want to be realistic, Honorable Stein. Yeah, I think just in a nutshell, Chairperson, I'm saying there are various outputs, deliverables that we have captured at the senior management level to make sure that managers deliver on those, to make us achieve those broad objectives that are seen in this strategic plan document that we have presented here, and as well as the APP. So APP is at a much more higher level, but below that, again, performance agreements talk specifically to the projects that must be implemented. Thanks, Senator.
Dr. Swart, some jobs that are declining instead of increasing.
Chair, this again was Mustaine's question. Why set a target of 9,000 jobs for the new year, whereas in the past you would have done just over 9,000? We have indicated, Chair, that we're adding 5,000 on top of the 9,000 in this new year. It was 9,000, just over 9,000 last year, but we're adding on top of that another 5,000. So it's really over 60% over and above that what we did last year.
You want to help yourself, Dr. Sir. The young man, the gentleman next to TG has indicated that there are 540 farms in the current financial year. Where are you doing work? That's him. In the next financial year, you're reducing 540 to 387. Now, the statement is correct. You can't reduce 9,700 and some odd jobs from 540 to 14,000 in 387 plus. It sounds illogical, isn't it? But it is.
I'm trying to make a quick mental arithmetic in my mind, Chairperson. I'm simply saying, Chairperson, the hard reading from Mustaine is that you have produced just over 9,000 in 1 year, and in the following year you say you're going to produce the same. No, the fact is, it is not 9, it is 9 plus 5, it is 14. But the question was, why reduce to 9,000, whereas you did achieve just over 9,000?
She didn't count the 5. Like me, I counted the 5, I didn't count the 9.
Chairperson,
I said specifically in both the youth program and the rural development program. I counted both. Yes, but I said 9 and then 5 in both. Okay, but my question is, actually, are we target setting, chasing again like the hectares, and at the end of 5 years we say, oh, it's because we counted so many heads? Because
I think
if they were planning in this to get to a number, or are we just pleasing the president by putting something in a document, Chair?
No, Ms. Dean, I think you and I have missed the point, and I think Dr. Swartz has got us there. 540 farms produced 9,700 and some odd jobs. 387 farms are producing 14,000. Surely that is an increase, it's not a drop, unless the information is not accurate.
Thanks, Chair. Never should respond to the question around the hectares and finish with the job. Like I said before, there are about 540 properties that are under recapitalization and development that covers 45,207 hectares. As part of their compliance with the APP, like the Digital Support Services says earlier, we busy cutting a disk that will make it available to all the members. You'll be happy to have information around the project name, project description, where the number of hectares, even the number of beneficiaries, and the activities that are happening in each and every farm, so that you can feel free also to visit. That will be part of the final APP that we'll be presenting. Or on the number of jobs, without dwelling much on the 9,000 and the 14,000.
Miss Mashi is here. You're contradicting her now. You are saying you are going to give us the final APP, which will contain that information. She said, this draft we have is final. Nothing is going to change.
Out of order, Chair. It's additional information. It's English, Chair. I hope I'm forgiven. Okay, additional information that contains all what I've described. Because it's not clear around the issue of 9,000 and 40,000, I wanted to avoid it as much as possible. But in the few projects that we visited, Chair and members, we realize that you've got different kinds of jobs that are happening, starting from what you call sustainable job. Once you enter the project, there are those that you'll find people working, so you've got number of jobs that you sustain. Then you create new jobs, which we call new jobs. Then they are in categories. They start with permanent, they start with permanent, seasonal, and temporary. That's how we arrive at these figures of 9,000. Obvious, the reality is that we are applying the law of averages. Why I'm saying this? Because not all the farms are the same in size. And if you're talking, for instance, agro-processing a pack house, for instance, there will be not a similar number of employees working temporarily or permanently in one pack house. So it will differ farm to farm. So maybe as a compromise, just to accept these figures as averages.
Chairperson, the Ngonyama Trust relationship with the department, there's a specific question. I think the Ngonyama Trust Act provides that the department shall provide administrative and other support to the board. So the money we make available is for the salaries of the permanent employees of the board, office accommodation, and so on. There's no money that we make available to the board that is relating to these other things like operations that they are planning to do. They have asked for more money. We have said, even the department itself had asked for more money from National Treasury, but we were not given that money. It is correct, Chairperson, that the relationship could be much more better than it is now. Not because there is tension between the two. I think because the Ngonyama Trust is a public entity in terms of the Schedule 3 of the PFMA, they don't report to the department as a public entity, but rather to the minister and parliament. There isn't that direct line to the department. But that does not mean that we cannot have a better relationship as an entity in Ngonyama Trust. We used to have somebody from the department serving on the board of the Ngonyama Trust in the past so that we were better aware of what was going on the Ngonyama Trust board. I think that vacancy is still vacant at the present moment. We've got to make a nomination for the minister to appoint somebody to serve on the board of the Ngonyama Trust. I did attend the strategic planning session, Chairperson. We engaged exactly on these particular issues. So it's not like we just simply turned our blind eye and allowed them to do whatever they want to do. These issues were brought to their attention at the strategic planning session, which I attended. Obviously, as I say, there are certain things that they can't do. I mean, for instance, like the amendment of the legislation. But I will plead, Chair, that we must go outside of this meeting and fix this relationship issue, and whether or not what Ngonyama Trust is doing is what it was established to do, or it is going beyond its mandate. So I'm just appealing that we make an undertaking as a department that will engage Ngonyama Trust in terms of its direction and whether it's going beyond its mandate now. Because we'll have difficulty in justifying expenditure in creating district offices, because Ngonyama Trust is not a government department. So we are just appealing for that space, and we'll report to the committee on how we're dealing with that. On restitution, it's quite correct, Honorable Spain asked the question on restitution. What we don't want to do, Honorable Members, is to set a target which we will not achieve. Already with the kind of exposure that we're talking about, for us to suggest that because there's a figure of 3,500 outstanding claims, then we are going to aim for settling 1,000. We know how much, on average, these claims, particularly where you're going to have to spend money, these claims cost. So I think it will be unreasonable of us to just simply set a high target when we can't actually meet it. As a matter of fact, the pressure we have now is that we have to pay court orders. So a 5 court applications can come and just simply wipe away the budget that is available, and we won't be able to meet any one of our targets. But we want to target what we do and settle very carefully. We've got a number of small financial compensation claims that we can settle. We've got claims on state lands where there's no money involved. We want to be carefully targeting those. But there are those that are not big in terms of the money it would cost to settle them, and we want to be quite selective so that we increase the number of claims that we settle. The budget will never be enough in the near future. The Chair helped us yesterday to say at the Standing Committee on Appropriations to say what we are dealing with here now is something that is far more bigger than the department on its own. It requires even at a portfolio committee level interaction between different committees, the Finance Committee, the Committee on Appropriations, to say, given the reality confronting the state, how best do we deal with it? Because if we are sitting with 4.7 billion rand on land redistribution, and the court orders come, we can't not pay those court orders. We may be forced actually to make another huge violent move money from land redistribution to the other side. But that is not a sustainable solution, but it's the reality we are confronted with. I think the only Ngonyama Trust, the work that they are doing, Honorable Stein, about the asset register, it's different from the surveying. 99.9% of the Ngonyama Trust land is surveyed. The rest of the surveying we are doing it in the former homelands. other than KwaZulu Natal, there's very, very little that is unsurveyed there. So it is still important, though, that we work together with the Ngonyama Trust. That's the kind of relationship that I was talking about, to say we needed to improve. Thank you, Chairperson. That was my appeal, because it would be pointless for us to give you certain answers. We go out and we engage and we come back with a different view. So that was my appeal, that we step outside and we go and discuss and discuss.
Thank you, Chair. I do take the appeal from the DJ. I'm probably not sure, Chair, whether I should clarify one or two things. The first one is the
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, members. Chair, can I just confirm that the members have the correct copy? There's a copy that was there this morning, and we circulated new copies. The copy was saying AGSA approached 10-11 PSMA orders, not all 9-10 PSMA orders. And also, there is a project guide that goes with the presentation, like this. Okay. Check, can I? Can I just say that the pocket guide is the summary of the presentation? And in my opinion, we have been through the presentation before, so I'm not going to go through the whole presentation in detail. I'm just going to highlight critical issues in the presentation. If you go to page 2 of the 3, sorry, of the presentation, it just indicates that the group structure of the department, and the next page indicates the audits that the Auditor General is responsible for. The reason being, in some portfolios, there are entities that have appointed their own auditors, and these entities are not audited by the AG, and we refer to these entities as Section 4.3 audit in terms of the Public Audit Act. Now, the Department of Rural Development does not have such entities. However, I just need to highlight that Ngonyama Trust is audited by our KZN office, and not from the national office, but we coordinate with them in this regard. Chair, if I may, page 5 to page 8, it deals with the legislative requirements in terms of performance information, and I will not get into that. There's enough information if members would like to read.
I just want to highlight a few things on page 9. It's a very colorful slide, which is also in the guide, and it's in color there. I just want to highlight a few steps there. If you start at the beginning, it's oversight, and then you go to policy development, and then there's identification of desired impact. And I would just like to say, I'm going to refer to this later, but for the 11-12 financial year, obviously the identification of the desired impact will be informed by the 12 government goals, will be informed by the minister's contract, will be informed by the Millennium Goals and the departmental mandate in terms of the constitution. And if we go down, there's implementation, and next to it is monitoring and management. And what I would like to highlight there that is that there should be continuous evaluation of targets, and specifically where targets are not achieved. And this morning there's been intense discussions around achievement of targets and reasonability of the targets set. Non-achievement of these targets should be highlighted in preferably monthly reports. I know in terms of legislation these reports are quarterly, but from the AG side we encourage complete and accurate monthly financial and performance reporting. And this will assist management to then indicate the reasons why they did not achieve set targets. Because at the end of the financial year, when you do the audit, we would like to audit these reasons, and they should have supporting documentation to assist us in auditing the reasons why they did not achieve what they set to achieve. And it will also assist management to develop corrective action where necessary to address the shortfalls. It will also assist management to highlight interventions needed to assist them in achieving the goals set. Chair, if I may again skip pages 10, 11, 12, and 13, these are just requirements in terms of the legislation and in terms of the National Treasury Framework as well, that the department is aware of and is also accessible. And if I can just go to page 16 of the presentation, which talks about the AG strategy to audit performance information. This is also just legislative requirements that we should have a separate audit conclusion or opinion on audit reports. And if I can just give further feedback, last year the AG reported on the outcomes of performance information. We gave factual findings in the audit report, and we gave an indication of what opinion the department or the entity would have received had we expressed an opinion, and this was given in the management report. And the same process will be followed for the 10-11 financial year. The process for the 11-12 financial year has not been agreed on. If you go to page 17, just an approach that we follow, we need to understand and test the internal policies, procedures, and controls related to management of performance information. This is service delivery. This is the same process that we follow when we do the audit of financial statements. We need to understand and test the system and controls relevant to collecting, monitoring, and reporting performance information. And we need to confirm and audit existence and performance of information. Consistency of performance information between strat plan, quarterly reports, and the annual performance. So what has been planned beforehand must be reported on in quarterly reports and also in the annual performance
report, which goes into the annual report of the department or the entity. We will compare the reported performance information to relevant source documents. This is during the audit, and conduct procedures to ensure validity, accuracy, and completeness of reported performance information. The next page deals with the audit criteria, and this audit criteria, Chair, is explained in the pocket guides that I have distributed with the presentation. Relating to compliance with rules and regulations, we look at existence, and what this entails is that the predetermined objectives should have been set before the beginning of the financial year. So they cannot be set after the beginning of the financial year. They must be set before, and they must be reported on. The timeliness, and this is mainly, you know, compliance with the required guidance and rules and regulations. The information must be reported within 2 months after year end. That means it must be submitted for audit at 31 May. And they must use federal regulation. This is presentation. Federal guidelines must be used. Actual performance in the tables and narrative in the annual report must be consistent. Material differences must be reported on, and as I have indicated earlier, they must be auditable. Performance information must be useful, so we test usefulness, and we look at measurability, whether these are the indicators are measurable. We look at relevance, whether these are clear, and there is a logical link between the objectives, between the outcomes, the outputs and indicators and performance targets. We look at consistency, whether there's consistency between planning and reporting of the performance information. We look at reliability, and reliability has three aspects: validity, accuracy, and completeness. And validity, we look at actual reported performance has indeed occurred, and it relates to the entity. For instance, if the department cannot report on something that is not doing, but is done by Ngonyama Trust, for argument's sake, so it must be something that pertains to the entity specifically. Accuracy, amounts, numbers, and other data relating to reported actual performance have been recorded and reported appropriately. Completeness, all actual results and events that should have been recorded have been recorded in the annual performance of the department. The next slide on page 19, it relates to the SMART principles referred to under usefulness, measurability, where we say that we evaluate these performance objectives in terms of the SMART criteria set by National Treasury. SMART, meaning S for specific, M for measurable, A for achievable, R for relevance, and T for time bound. Okay. Page 20 deals with the framework, which is from National Treasury, and I will not get into that as well. Page 21 deals with submission of performance information. I have dealt with that already. And page 22 finally deals with the the slide guideline on the in-year monitoring of the 2011-12 financial year. I think in the beginning when I started with the presentation, I indicated that the objectives of the department in the threat plan are informed or should be informed by the 12 government goals, ministers' contract with the president, and the millennium goals, and also the department. departmental mandate. And here, I would just like to say that it is critical that when the portfolio committee evaluates the structure of the department, we should make sure that there is an alignment to all these issues that have been pointed out. And perhaps it would be advisable for the department to indicate to the portfolio committee how they have made sure that all these, the 12 government goals, Minister's Contract and Millennium Development Goals, have been incorporated in their threat plan and how they are monitoring these. The other issue is that there are entities and government departments, as the DG has said earlier on, that there are departments and entities that cooperate with rural development in driving specific goals, being those that are in the minister's contract or in the government goals. And you know, we need to have an indication of how the department coordinates performance and delivery of these goals, and how they are monitored within the department's threat plan. Of critical importance also is to get an evaluation of whether the departmental resources are sufficient to enable the department to meet its objectives and targets. Because if we have set objectives and targets that cannot be achieved because of resources, of lack of resources, the department should be in a position to indicate that, so that the portfolio committee can then intervene where necessary. And I think of critical importance, as it has been done this morning, the threat plan must be read with the annual performance plan or the operational plan, and I think that was sufficiently covered in this morning's discussion. Chair, the next slide is the findings on audit of performance information relating to the 9-10. This has been detailed out in the audit report of the AG, and I believe it was dealt with. Management has developed an action plan to address these findings, and we are in the process of auditing progress made by management in addressing these findings that we raised relating to performance information. And naturally, we will be in a position to report on this at the end of July when we issue the report. I suppose management is in a position to present to the portfolio committee progress that they have made in relation to these findings that we have raised. And on that note, my presentation is done, Chair.
Chairperson, let me thank the presenter for the presentation, but Chair, to be clarified on two things. Number one, on the issue, you have said the threat plan must be read in line with the annual performance plan. The department has indicated that according to the Treasury guidelines, they submit the threat plan, then the annual performance plan must be submitted 2 months later. So can I be clarified?
on that? How do we deal with that, such a situation? Because the experience that we're coming with from the provincial legislatures was that the threat plan is presented on the same time together with the operation, with the annual performance plan. But now we're told that the threat plan must come first, the annual performance plan must come after 2 months after the presentation of the threat plan. How do we deal with such a situation as the committee? We deal with the threat plan, we wait for 2 months for the annual performance plan, we sit again, we link the two. Can I be clarified? The second one, the SMART principle. If the annual performance plan is in percentages, 50%, first quarter, 60%, second quarter, is it specific? 60% of what? Are we supposed to come with a calculator to calculate what is 60% of what figure? 70% of what figure? So it makes our work very much difficult. For instance, there's somewhere that is, I think they're telling us about level 2 to 3, level 3 to 5. So I was just confused. Which level is that? So can I just get the clarity, because we need to learn each and every day.
My apologies, Chair. I was expecting more questions. Can I just say that these questions must actually be directed to the department? No, absolutely. Chair, my understanding is that the threat plan of the department, I stand under correction, the threat plan of the department must be approved by the minister 6 months before the start of the financial year. And I would say that 2 months later for the operational plan, it's quite reasonable. My sense is that if the operational plan is finalized and presented before the start of the financial year, that is quite reasonable. And I would imagine that it is the prerogative of the portfolio committee to request the operational plan ahead of time for them to make inputs into this operational plan, because it has to be finalized and approved before the start of the financial year. I think the portfolio committee will have to make a decision there and come in agreement with the DG and the minister on that part. And with regard to the SMART principles, Chair, it sort of becomes a bit difficult. I suppose the illustration that I can have or that I can prepare at the later stage would relate to the threat plan for the 10-11 financial year, which is the audit that is underway. However, the department, you know, having to assess the SMART principles, the department must then indicate how they rate themselves with regard to these SMART principles on each and every goal that they have for the department. And if the portfolio committee feels that some of the targets are not really, or some of the indicators are not measurable, the department must then indicate how they are then going to make sure that these are measurable. And my sense is that the engagement or this assessment should be done before the threat plan is finalized. And management must be, because these are the principles that are set beforehand by National Treasury. So management must make sure that each of the objectives and goals that they have set meet this criteria before it is approved.
Okay.
chairperson, I want to assist. Thank you. This thing, it will be helpful to take all these processes, I think, and we try to see the coherence between all these processes. Last year, chairperson, there was the process of finalization of the outcome for the department. And there was also by September, according to this letter, page one of this letter from National Treasury, only in September that the national departments were given.
National Treasury.
No, I want to clarify this point that Chairperson, Treasury gave the department this framework. Okay. But I'm trying, Galo Chairperson, to address this thing that we are dealing with work for the previous year. And then Treasury then says, again in this letter, departments can only, and Chairperson referred to this in the last meeting, that in the provinces, like the Honourable Member has been saying, in the provinces you table both of them on the same day, 28th of February. In fact, to table the strategic plan once for 5 years. And this process is not the same at national level. So, Chairperson, I'm not trying to defend the department, but to just say maybe then the process should be better managed in the years moving forward. But this year it's been that imbalancing, I think, that poor coordination at that level. This is why then the committee is only engaging with the documents now that it should have engaged with earlier on. And this is why we are talking the APP as the department chairperson. We've been proactive to even implement this framework, which Treasury is saying this letter will be fully implementable in 2012.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. The reason is that it's better to talk about now than to talk it about at the end of the year when there's no time maybe to correct some of the things. It's a question which I've been raising also with National Treasurer with regard to the question of math principles. Because as a department, we have prepared the strategic plan, which we believe is based on the SMART principles. We have prepared the annual performance plan, which we believe is based on SMART principles. And my question has always been, you don't have to wait until the end of the year to tell me that what I have done is not SMART. You can tell it now and say, what we have prepared is not SMART. So if we want to be proactive, so that when it comes at the end of the year when I'm being audited, I'm not going to be told that your information is not useful, is unreliable, the way we plan it is unmeasurable and is unspecific. That exercise has been done now. So if there is a need to say what we've done is not specific, is not smart, let's give it with that process so that we can correct as a department at the beginning of the year. So that when you come end of the year, we are talking of whether we have achieved what we have said there or not. Not we talk the question of whether it's smart or not. That's my addition. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Now, I was triggered by this last smart comments, Chair. But I think the department can take my comments to heart when I said business plan language. I know business plan language. It's to make it very cozy. But, Chairperson, I think the department knows that this portfolio actually goes out to the communities. That's when we will see what is smart and what's not smart. They can come with these nice percentages and figures and language and whatever. That's why I asked that question, what do these words mean? Because for us, we want to see what the nice word means in actual changes on the ground in the lives of the people, Chair. And we don't see that really, the question here of percentages. If we talk, I know sometimes it's difficult, but I'll take an easy one. the 300 or whatever, not square kilometers restitution backlog. Out of how many? How far are you? You know, I have to go back, dig back. I have two packs of paperwork here from previous meetings and last year to see how many was it. Why is it not in there? So, and then we can measure it. If it's reasonable or if it's not, how much was it last year? So, it's just making more paperwork. I was looking at all this paperwork. We're cutting off trees. I hope the department's planting trees in some of their programs. Because we keep on getting documents because we have to keep going back to see. So put it in your plans. I told the DGs as if we're not supposed to know. Because every time we must go back. So that's all that we are appealing for. Tell us, this is what we want, this is where we are, this is where we're going to move to in so long a period. Without the nice language.
Thank you, Ms. Tain. Ms. Tain is a farmer, you see. So she does not like the smart things. She wants the concrete reality because farming is to do with weather, it has to do with people, it has to do with money in the bank. Put those together and then produce the food. So there's nothing smart in hard work on a farm. Ladies and gentlemen, we've come to the end of the meeting. Last time we met here, we announced that lunch is served. And today there's no lunch. We part in order to meet again. Thank you very much. Meeting is adjourned. I know there are two items on the agenda that we did not table, but we can't go beyond this point. Thank you very much.